Welcome to the Keys of the Kingdom with Brother Gregory of His Holy Church.
Welcome to Keys of the Kingdom. I'm Brother Gregory, and we're going to again talk about the Kingdom of God, and we're in the third part of a series on sacred purpose trusts. Now, we've talked about this idea of altars of clay and altars of stone, what the Hebrew word really means when you talk about altars. A gathering of stones is the same word for a gathering of friends. An altar of stone is composed of four letters, which has to do with the flow of something you offer, and it's cut off from you, and it's applied to the dynamics of life. With this final letter of Chet, which also is connected to the idea of separate. It's actually connected to the idea of a fence, a hedge, a chamber, something that separates things out. And of course, a sacred purpose trust, the word sacred has to do with separate. Purpose has to do with your intent. And trust has to do with, it's all based on faith. Because when you cast your bread upon the waters, that's an act of faith, in hopes that it will come back to you. So we also talked about how important it is that people learn to give, because that's in the nature of Christ. If someone is not a giving person, then Christ may not be in them. And though they think they're saved, then I have to ask, why don't you manifest the fruits of Christ who came to serve? And we talked a little bit about the idea of making bricks without straw. Can you take care of the needy of your society without taking from the men who call themselves benefactors but exercise authority? When we are creating a sacred purpose trust, as we call it, or His church, we do it by this idea of a trust. A trust is not necessarily a statutory trust, but it follows the principles of a trust, where you give something to somebody else to do something for another party under his authority, because he is the one you're doing it for. And of course, the beneficiary is Christ, but there's a secondary beneficiary, because Christ said, "Feed my sheep." So you benefit Christ by doing what He says. Take care of His sheep. Be a shepherd to His sheep. In a time of affluence, strengthen them. Don't weaken them. So the church is the benefactors who do not exercise authority. They exercise responsibility, and they exercise rights of fulfilling obligations. So when we fill out the paperwork, the documents are then simply an outward sign, a physical testament of our decision. As it is written, so shall it be done. How many times does the Bible say, as it is written? How many times does the Bible in both Old and New Testament talk about two or more witnesses? Establish all things with two or more witnesses. So we see that in, like I said, both in Old Testament and the New Testament. And we see it in 2 Corinthians 13:1. This is the third time I am coming to you. In the mouth of two or three witnesses shall every word be established. And how many times does the Bible talk about records? Well, dozens of times. Keeping records. So as it is written, so shall it be done. Keeping the records of what you have done. This is very much a part of the church. And it's very much a part of a trust, because if you have this thing that you're holding in trust for Christ, and you die and you have no record, then how do we know where Christ's stuff is? How do we know whose is whose? And what needs to go to the next minister who takes your place? Well, that's why records are important. There's other reasons. Some objected to records right off, and I said, to some degree, The records are for the world. They need to know. And I gave examples of if you set up a garden and you plant rows, and you know the first few rows are corn, and the next rows are peas, and the next rows are potatoes, and the next rows are carrots, and you can identify these things as they come up. You don't really need to mark around the garden because you know where everything is at. You spend hours out there hoeing. But you still put up a string marking off your garden. Why? It's for other people, so they do not mistake you. You know, it's like getting married. Remember Abraham and his wife? He didn't let people know that they were married. That caused problems. There are no secret marriages. You have to be married in the open because it's important that everybody knows that you're married and that your wife is married and she's not a single woman. So anyway, the same is true that if somebody gives something on the altars of stone, those altars of stone, those stones of that altar need to make a record of what was given. So we know this is Christ and this belongs to Christ. And these are the items that we need to keep dedicated to Christ if something happens to you. Also, if your congregation, if they're all giving you some money and you keep telling them and other people, oh, I need more money because I only got this much, and you're not keeping records, you could be lying. And I can give you many cases of ministers who were good, smooth talkers, and they lied to people about the orphanages they were creating and where the money was going, and they collected over $8 million that never went to charity, and nobody caught them. They just spent it on themselves and squandered it away. And nobody caught them because no records. Nobody's paying attention. That's very irresponsible. People always talk about unconditional love. Love has its own built-in conditions. If your love does not strengthen the poor, if your love does not defend the righteous, if your love does not protect the property and responsibilities that are given you, then there's something wrong with your love. It's not real love. So anyway, you'll know them by their fruits. As people begin to understand what is what, when we look at the word translated fruit some 66 times, we see the word karpos in the Greek. Fruit, that which originates or comes from something, an effect, a result. So what is the result? It goes on to say work, act, deeds. You're not saved by works, but if there is no works, then there is no fruit. Fruit is the works. And so when you give funds to a minister, you need to know that they are bearing fruit, that they are doing good with them. So he needs to keep a record. And that record is his testimony. Even the word karpos, which is always translated, just about always, I think it's always translated fruit, appears over 60 times in the Bible. And because that's very important, fruits. And it has to do with this definition of works or acts or deeds. But it actually comes from a word that has to do with choose to take for oneself. Like fruit, you pick it. So it doesn't really bear fruit if you leave the fruit on the vine. It has to be picked, it has to be chosen, taken off. And it's related to the word harpazo, which is also to do with take or take by force or catch away or pluck, all of what you do with fruit. But this idea of bearing fruit to produce a fruit. We see the same word in heal the sick, cleanse the leper, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely you have received and freely you give. That concept of to, in harpazo, to catch up and to take by force, to catch away, to pluck, to pull, is contained in this idea of to seize or to carry off. And so freely, to freely give and to freely receive is an essential part of the kingdom. And the idea that you can take away from your neighbor through these benefactors who exercise authority is contrary to that idea of freely give and freely receive. It is live by force, live by the sword even. Because ultimately, those systems, the men who exercise authority, depend upon the sword to keep people in compliance. They depend upon force. And if you live by the sword, you will go under the sword. You too will be brought under the authority of that sword. In Romans 8:32, we see, "He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things?" Freely give. If he will freely give, then how come you are not freely given? Revelation 21:6, it says, "And he said unto me, It is done. I am the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. And I will give unto thee that is athirst a fountain of water of life freely." And there's that idea of flow, mem, give, fountain, water of life. The Sacred Purpose Trust represented to me the intention of living under God's government. That's what one comment was made. We recently had a course, and there were a number of essays that people wrote as a part of that course to see if they were understanding the material. We don't grade courses, but we take them in order to work together to learn, and we provide them through the Living Network. So there were these different ideas that were brought up in the essays, like seek first the kingdom of God, seeking a way of society based on free giving. And another quote, "In choosing a minister to serve our individual families through our declaration of a sacred purpose trust, we are creating an office of service and bearing witness to our trust in the minister to follow the Holy Spirit leading within the minister's own heart and conscience." He gets to decide. We're trusting that he will decide. But we have to keep an eye on that to make sure that that happens, and records are a part of that as well. Now, the records aren't just so you can go out and check everybody else what they're making or giving or what have you. The records are there to make sure that the widows and orphans and needy of your society are taken care of, and the resources are being managed well, so that you know whether or not to give. Because, see, God's government doesn't operate on force. It operates on the free choice of individuals. Relationships and trust based on real sacrifice, not merely emotional support. The government of the kingdom is the government of God, and it uses these free will offerings in order to provide for the needy of his societies. Feed my lambs, feed my sheep. John 21:15-17. They were instructed to do this. This is the way the kingdom of God works. It works from generation to generation, from elder to elder, not church to church. The church is simply the public servants of the people. And in order to do this wisely, you have to keep records. What people are you responsible for? Who are you connected with? What other people may you be required to help? In Matthew 25:34, we see, "Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the earth. For I was hungered, and ye gave me my meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me in." God is making the decision based on what you're doing. "Naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came unto me." Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, "Lord, when saw we thee and hungered and fed thee, or thirsty and gave thee drink?" And he says, "When saw we a stranger and took thee in, or naked and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick or in prison and came unto thee?" And the king shall answer and say unto them, "Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, you have done it unto me." Who's his brethren? every Tom, Dick, and Harry out there, every alcoholic, drug addict, abuser of women, is that his brother? No. Those are the brothers of Satan. Why are you helping them? Why are you squandering your aid on them? Now, there may be time when you should, so that they might repent. But just helping people and giving to people is not sufficient. You must give wisely, and in order to do that, you must have records. Then he shall say also unto them on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his ministers, angels. For I was hungered, and ye gave me no drink. I was thirsty, and ye gave me no drink. I was hunger, and ye gave me no meat. I was a stranger, and ye took me not in. Naked, and ye clothed me not. Sick, and in prison, and ye visited me not. Then shall they also answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee a hungered, or a thirst, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister unto thee? Then shall he answer them, saying, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye did it not to one of the least of these, ye did it not to me. And therefore also, when you did it for the least of these, my brethren, you did it for me. And that's very important to understand, because God doesn't need your help. You need to learn to help. You need to serve others. And you should not do it, it is not service to do it in a helter-skelter, random sort of way. It is only good to do this in righteousness, consistently, in a bona fide way that actually helps people. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. So this is why it's so important, when Christ said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. He's saying that the righteous into life eternal, but the others shall not. As altars of clay you have received from God to learn to freely give. Invest in others. The third steward minister failed to put his talent to good use. It is written, being followers of Jesus and not wayward sheep, we participate in his flock and his holy church, and actually practice of faith, hope, and charities flows freely from the altars of Christ after the manner established in the days of the early church. The modern church doesn't operate that way. The modern church operates very much differently. A modern church gives some charity, but most of the charity come from those men who call themselves benefactors but exercise authority. So therefore, when you want to create a sacred purpose trust, you really should not have any agreement with them. This should be a separate system based on faith, hope, and charity. If we read in Matthew 6, verse 1, take heed that ye do not your alms before men to be seen of them, otherwise ye have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Does that mean that you shouldn't be keeping records in your ministries? You shouldn't be paying attention to who gets what? You don't oversee the ministers that you're trusting? You just give to them blindly like you do to people on the street corner? Is that the message that they're trying to tell you? He tells you before that to be therefore perfect, even as your Father, which is in heaven, is perfect. And he talks about this almsgiving to not do it before men, to be seen of them. Otherwise, you know, in a prideful sense, otherwise ye have no reward of your Father, which is in heaven. Pointing that out, that you have your fathers there, not the fathers of the earth, which we just did 6 programs on. Therefore, when thou doest thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory of him. Who? Of the men in the streets. Verily, I say unto you, they have their reward. But when thou doest alms, let not thy left hand know what the right hand is doing. You don't do this with two hands. You just give alms. He gives some examples of that. But when thou doest alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand is doing. So what does that mean? Your right hand is for your sword. Your left hand is not supposed to be using the sword to get this done. You should be doing it by faith, hope, and charity in the perfect law of liberty. That thine alms may be in secret, and thy Father, which seeth in secret himself, shall reward thee openly. And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogue and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. He's saying this to a lot of different people, but he's just finished a speech also that talks about those who don't clothe me, don't feed me, don't visit me in jail, or the least of my brethren. He's talking about those people too. So now he's talking about these other guys who blow trumpets when they get things and they boast about it. He doesn't want you taking pride and vanity into the offering box with you. So he wants you to be humble about it. And of course, when you give to the minister, he knows who you got it. You could slip it in an envelope under the door, but he knows. He accounts for where he got it from. He doesn't publish it in the newspaper. He just has a record, and somebody can check that record if there's a question as to how honest the minister is. Usually in a tight congregation working daily, you're going to know he's doing this, he's doing that, but the fact is you get to see if he's not doing right, or you suspect him of not doing right, and he should have no problem proving it, that he's not embezzling the money of Christ. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into that closet, he says, and when thou hast shut the door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. But when ye pray, use not vain repetitions, another instruction, as the heathens do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. But not ye, therefore, like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask him. After this manner, therefore, pray ye, our Father who art in heaven. Now, we've had the 6-part series on Father. Who's that Father? The patronuses of the world, the patres of the world, who exercise authority, the benefactors of the world who exercise authority one over the other. These are the fathers of the earth. But you're praying to your Father in heaven. This is creative force. Hallowed be thy name, separate be thy ways. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Very important. Anyway, we'll have to finish this when we come back to Keys of the Kingdom after this brief break.
My name is Mark, and I'm from Melbourne in Australia, and I'm a minister in the church established by Jesus Christ more than 2,000 years ago. After reading the books published at hisholychurch.org, I realised that mainstream Christianity had taken a wrong turn by forgetting what Jesus said to do, to practice pure religion while remaining unspotted from the world. What does this mean, and how is this done exactly? You'll find out when you go to hisholychurch.org and discover what it truly means to love God and your neighbour as much as yourself. Join the Living Network at hisholychurch.org.
Have you ever looked at the things happening in the world today and felt that something just wasn't right, but couldn't put your finger on it? Have you ever heard the phrase, "God bless America," and wondered to yourself, does he really? Or have you ever looked at the government's policies on things such as abortion or same-sex marriage and asked yourself, how could they? Or where are all the Christians voicing their outrage? These are hard questions that many people today ask themselves. But along with those hard questions come some very hard answers. Answers that you may never heard before, but nonetheless will answer these and other questions you may have. So if you're looking for answers, join us at hisholychurch.org. It's not what you might think, and it will open the heart and mind to a whole other world that you never even knew existed. It did for me and many others. I know it will for you as well. So join us as we seek the kingdom of God and His righteousness at hisholychurch.org.
The Creator is the God of the living, not the God of the dead. His kingdom was, is, and will be forever on earth as it is in heaven. Start by connecting and finding other kingdom-seeking families on the His Holy Church Living Network. Visit www.hisholychurch.org to start your journey back to your unalienable birthright.
I'm Brother Justice, and I'm a minister of His Holy Church of Sacramento, California. His Holy Church is a powerful weapon in the hands of God. The books, The Covenants of the Gods, and Thy Kingdom Come has changed the course of my life forever. For those of you who are truly looking for the way, I encourage you to look to His Holy Church at www.hisholychurch.org. May the good Lord bless you and keep you.
Hi, I'm Brent. I'm a contact minister for the Living Network in Northeast Missouri. You're not the only one out there with the desire to learn the truth. There are people all over the world coming together in faith, hope, and charity. Join us at one of the upcoming gatherings to meet new people, fellowship, work, and play. Whether it's the Fall Burning Bush Festival in Oregon or the Spring Gathering in Northeast Missouri, you'll get all the details when you join the Living Network. Go to hisholychurch.org and click on the network link. Find out what you've been missing. You'll be glad you did.
Welcome back. We're talking about how you pray in the kingdom. And prayer is not just words. Prayer is action. In the early church, we see the church meeting once a week, and those having share with those that didn't have enough through charity. And they did this openly to make sure that everybody was accounted for. And the guy who was given this extra bread, and he went to go out and give it to the poor, they knew how much he had. Paul made a record of how much he had when he was coming from Galatia to do what? Why did they have to do this? There was plenty of welfare around. Christians didn't have access to it. But he goes on, and forgive us our trespasses, Heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither shall your Father forgive your trespasses. So people say, well, I'm saved because I believe in Jesus, but if you have not forgiven trespasses, then it don't count. Moreover, when ye fast, be not as the hypocrites of sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces that they may appear unto men to feast. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. So anyway, this is kind of the purpose of the sacred purpose trust. And how it works to set men free. He says, moreover, when ye fast, be not like the hypocrites, but thou, when thou fastest, anoint thine head and wash thy feet, that thou appears not unto men to fast, but unto the Father, which is in secret. So now the Father's in secret. He's just saying, don't make a public spectacle. You know, Father isn't really in secret. You just can't see him all the time. And you should not let everybody and just anybody see your sacrifices. He's not trying to create some kind of boogaboo idea that you can't let anybody know. You can't let any know in order to boost your own vanity. So he wants you to take on this humble continence, but actually still give and take amongst yourselves through charity. He's also telling you not to be greedy, not to lay up treasures for yourself. Why? Because you want that offering to flow. Now, the truth is the Israelites had whole sections of land where they put sheep on that were given them as an offering, and they would draw from those sheep to take care of the needy of their community, their society, their network. They had to in order to take care of one another. The light of the body is the eye, and if therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thy eye be evil, then thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? So anyway, these principles of giving and forgiving are essential to understanding what you're doing with this sacred purpose trust, this His church, this altar of Christ. Is that you're doing it to feed His sheep, to take care of His needy. And so therefore you have to watch them to make sure that what you do will bear fruit. It's a responsibility. I'm always amazed that people do not make a cognitive connection in their minds concerning the kingdom of God. The fact that Jesus said, I'm going to take the kingdom away from you, referring to the Pharisees, and give it to another, clearly tells you in the Bible text that the kingdom was already there and they're taking it away. Even in Daniel, it says the kingdom is from generation to generation. It was a nation. It was a government. Israel was a government of the people, for the people, and by the people. They talk about it being a theocracy, but it was the God in the hearts and minds of the people that set it up. I mean, what do you have for laws? 10 commandments. 10 laws. Yeah, they had food laws, but what's the punitive damage of the food laws? You ate bad food, and you suffered for it. Why not pork? Why couldn't you eat pork? Well, it's a meat that's very difficult to digest. But at that particular time, the Canaanites were absolutely devastated by parasites that were rampant in their society because pigs were everywhere. And if you raise pigs and waterfowl in the same place, they will cross over into, they will bring diseases. The flu viruses that the ducks and the geese have will cross over and infect the humans. This happens every year in northern China where they raise ducks and geese together and with pigs. And so it's just common sense food laws. There's no food law about putting MSG in your food, but there is. You're to love your neighbor as yourself. All the law is encompassed in that. Well, how is it loving your neighbor to elect a benefactor who exercises authority and forces your neighbor to contribute to your welfare? How can you imagine that you would be free if you decide that that's okay? Yet every Christian religion, every Jewish religion, every Muslim religion, every Hindu religion, every yogi out there are signed up with the benefactors who exercise authority to take from their neighbor. How can you do that? How did Israel get away from doing that? Free will offerings, free will offerings, free will offerings. Over and over again, they're telling you they're supporting the entire government with free will offerings. You choose your minister. And you tithe to him to take care of health, education, and welfare for your society, to link you in a communication network with the rest of society, so that if anybody is being injured by robbers or thieves or flood or famine or invading armies, your network rises to the occasion with a hue and cry because you are already there for your neighbor in charity. So they created these congregations of record that were there for each other and for each other's congregation and for each member of the community and the communities at large to help one another, and that bound their society together by love. This is what it meant to love thy neighbor. It doesn't mean to sit idly in your pew or sit at home and say, oh yeah, I love my neighbor, as long as he doesn't come over. These altars were not piles of stone with stinky burnt up sheep on them. You ever set a sheep on an altar of stone and set it on fire? You have any idea what's going to happen when you do that? The thing's going to explode from the methane gases trapped inside of it. Nowhere is that what God wanted you to do. These altars of stone were altars of friends, men you trusted to help take care of the needy of your society, and they spent their lives doing it. They had no inheritance in the land but the righteousness of the people. So they did everything every day to improve and promote that righteousness in a charity that strengthens the poor. You are all, every family was an altar of clay, and every Levite gathered together with other Levites was an altar of stone. Yes, they built stone altars too, because they wanted to know what came across and was given to the Levites to be used. The Levites had lands that they grazed animals on. Whose animals? The animals that were freely given them. And they took care of those to provide for the needy of the society in general, as well as the Levite society. Levites were to retire at 55. Who's going to take care of them? Who's going to provide for them? Who's going to be there for the Levites? You know, I know a pastor spent his whole life as a pastor. He's on Social Security now. He gets nothing from the church. They don't take care of him. They're done with him. They're off playing games, playing church. You know what they do? They actually contribute to an auction to raise money for the church by giving their own machinery, which they deduct. Then they buy it back from the auction, and they get to deduct it again. So they have the contribution value, and then they buy it back, and then they get to deduct it again. Isn't that clever? They're using the church for cheating on their taxes. Amazing. They're not friends with the unrighteous mammon, and they're certainly not friends with the righteous mammon. It absolutely astounds me that we can be so far from what Christ was talking about, what Moses was talking about, and yet all these people are claiming to be Jews and Christians. How did we get so far away? And why is it so difficult to see? I was talking to a minister just last night, and he said that he was amazed at how people don't see it, don't see the gospel of caring for one another, of being there for one another. They don't see the conflict of going to men who call themselves benefactors and exercise authority one over the other. They don't see it. Their pastors don't see it. I know some guys, pretty decent guys. They're out there trying to get the vote because they think that if we vote the right Caesar in, then we don't need to worry anymore. No, you need to repent and return to the ways of Christ. Start taking care of one another through faith, hope, and charity. They're spending tens of thousands of dollars, probably hundreds of thousands of dollars, trying to get the vote out, as if somehow moral people are in the majority. They never were before. Why do you think they are now? Oh, we have, they talk about the moral majority. That moral majority isn't that moral, and they really aren't that much of a majority. You got 50 million Americans on food stamps. Food stamps is coming from the men who call themselves benefactors but exercise authority. It is the benefit of the fathers of the earth, who you have to pray to in order to get those benefits. No, the altars of stone and clay were institutions of social welfare right it down. They were operating entirely by free will offerings. Had nothing to do with burning up sheep on rocks out in the desert to make God happy. That wasn't what those altars were all about. And we go through that in the Thy Kingdom Come. Go read it. You know, it's amazing. I get people who are angry at what I say because I'm completely throwing out 90% of the churches as apostate. That's amazing. I'm not talking about just the 501c3 churches, which are the majority. I suppose that's 90%. I'm talking about even the non-501c3 churches. They are not the social welfare of their society. They don't take care of their widows and orphans. You show me one that is. I mean, there actually are a few that do. They don't do it quite like Christ said or like Moses said, but they at least are making some sort of real attempt. And of course, they're exempt from Obamacare. Why are you people having such difficulty in understanding this and doing something about it? You should be out there daily trying to spread the gospel. Help us spread the gospel. Get us on more radio stations. We're on, you know, 13 times a week now. Why aren't we on 30 times a week all over the country? We make the recordings. You can just call up the station and say, hey, we got somebody who puts up 5 recordings a day on very controversial matters. Get them on your late show or get them on somewhere so that more people hear the gospel and then gather together in a network. It doesn't do any good if you just have the gospel in your head. You have to become doers of the word. And I can tell you this, those people who get this, who see that this is the problem of the entire society and nation and world today, is the fact that somehow or other Christianity has accepted the heresy that it is okay to covet your neighbor's goods as long as you do it through government. Well, there was hardly a socialist nation around 150 years ago, and now there isn't a nation around that isn't socialist. The United States is a socialist nation. It has been since public education became predominant at the beginning of the last century. That's socialism. 1913, socialist money came into being. Debt-ridden socialist money came into being and has hypothecated the property of every man, woman, and child in the United States, including their labor, so that they have all gone into servitude. Voluntarily went into servitude by signing up. And now you can't hardly live in the country unless you are signed up and got a number. That's all happened in the last generation or two, while you guys were going to church. And your churches hardly said a thing. There was a number of churches that were talking about it back in 33, but it's completely out of vogue now. No, the altars are altars of responsibility, individual responsibility, fueled by love for one another. If you don't have that, you're not a Christian. You're not a follower of Christ. And you're not saved. And you're under a strong delusion. Now, if you want to be saved, if you want to repent, if you want to turn around, you want to go the other way, hey, then you got to gather together with others like that. And I tell you, finding the others like that is better than gold. Better than gold. I put up a thing on Facebook a number of weeks ago. Charity is the mandate upon churches, not upon governments. Yet the church is defined as one form of government. And it goes on and says, yet government leads in charitable welfare provisions for its citizens. But they aren't. They aren't charitable welfare. Because they come from men who call themselves benefactors but exercise authority. You cannot force charity. It's no longer charity. It's what John the Baptist was preaching against. It's force. Until John the Baptist, everybody tried to establish their government on earth by force. That's what it says in the Bible. He goes on to say, therefore, governments have become and remain the prevailing religion of, for, and by the people. That's right. Socialism is a religion. It's a system of beliefs by which you use the institutions of socialism to take care of the needy of your society. And that was the definition of religion at the time of the Constitution of the United States. It was the definition of threskia, which is the Greek word for religion. And it's why God said, Jesus said, the threskia, the religion of the Pharisees, makes the word of God to none effect. Because the way in which they took care of the needy was like you do today. Yet you call yourself a Christian. But Israel took care of it with free will offerings, free will offerings, free will offerings. And now you're bound in, and you can't just leave. Because you're bound in debt. You owe. You're under debt. You can't just leave when you're under debt. You can't just say, well, I changed my mind. I don't want to pay off the debt that I have incurred with public education. I never went to public school, so I didn't incur that debt. There are a few who are really like the Levites, who are coming out. But there's no point in coming out unless you, the people, repent. Those who just want to come out but don't want to gather together like Christ, you are foolish virgins. You need to gather together like Christ. You need to care about one another. Not just those that are immediately around you. That's like thieves and robbers love one another. Because those immediately around you could be of value to you. And then if you just help out occasionally, you know, give 10 bucks to somebody on the street, what are you doing then? You're just easing your own conscience. Again, it's all about you. But when you cast your bread upon the waters, it's about people you don't even know. You know, the old red button thing. You don't even know and probably will never ever meet. I'll tell that story in the next show. Anyway, so therefore, governments have become and remain the prevailing religion of, for, and by the people. 1 Samuel 8 itemizes the aftermath on citizens for choosing such a lesser alternative. Now, I don't know who originally put that together or wrote that, but they hit the nail right on the head. They got it figured out. They understand what the gospel is really all about. But your average Christian, completely ignorant, doesn't even get it at all. Do not understand the gospel of the kingdom and are not following Christ. They say they believe in Christ, but if Christ was actually here, he'd be telling most of these people calling themselves Christians, get ye from me, ye workers of iniquity. Now I know out amongst many of those churches, there are the seeds of Christ's gospel. They just have to repent. Stop supporting the ear ticklers. The ones who have crept in and are preaching that strong delusion that you call Christianity today. Turn around from that. Turn away from that. Go the other way. Start taking care of one another. You will not be able to accomplish that. But with God, all things are possible. With God, now your lifestyle will eventually change here, but it's going to change anyway. You cannot change the course of history. You can just change what course you take through history. Destruction cometh. Rain falleth upon the good and the evil. But if you seek the wisdom of Christ, then you will begin to be blessed by Christ. If you continue to follow after the ways of the Israelites who said, give us a king, give us a ruler, give us someone who can exercise authority and make things right for us, because we're too busy to make things right for our neighbor, which is what they were saying, then you are going to continue to reject God even though you sing daily in your churches. Pray daily in your churches. Because God said at the end of that long speech that he mentioned in that picture, at the end of that long speech, God says, go and cry unto the gods which you have chosen for yourself. Well, wait a minute. They were just electing a king. What do you mean, chose a god? They said they were going to still follow God, didn't they? No. The word God means ruling judge. And when you give men the power to be the ruling judges of your life, decide fact and law for you, rule over you on a day-to-day basis, make policies for you, regulate your life in every way because you want them to regulate your neighbor in every way, then those are your gods. Those are the ruling judges of your life. They will make the law. They will interpret the law. And they will enforce the law. They will decide what is good and evil. You have given them the power to decide, not the Holy Spirit. You did not trust in God. You betrayed God. You turned your back on God. You rejected God and elected somebody else. Now, if you want to know how a sacred purpose trust can work, how our Friends of His Church trust can work, and how you can begin to create those bonds of love between one another by serving righteousness instead of serving institutions of unrighteousness and force and violence, then you have to join us on the Living Network and start forming congregations of record and start learning by doing. If you do not do that, you will not be saved. If you do that, God will intervene. God will be there miraculously on your behalf to do what is right and righteous for you. Not too righteous, because you need to pray for mercy. Remember the weightier matters? Law, judgment, mercy, and faith. You need to pray for mercy for your neighbor. You know, situations like what happened to Justina would never happen in a Christian society. Could never happen. But in half Christian societies, people who have not really made the full commitment to the gospel, who have watered down the gospel, it will happen to them. And then they will say, well, I've never seen anything like this. I can't believe this is happening in America. I don't know how in the world they seem to have this power. I don't get it. Because you're blind guides. That's why you don't get it. We just finished a 6-part series on Call No Man Father. We tell you why they have that power. They tell you why they have that power. It's written down. It isn't a secret, but your guides are ignorant. You know why? You could tell them. You could sit right there in their law offices and show them the law. And 24 hours later, they will not remember. They will still say, I don't get it. They will look back at you absolutely dazed. What are you talking about? They won't argue with you. They just look back at you dazed. There is no argument. It's right there in black and white, right in their laws. It explains it. And that's what we explain on that series. But your guides don't get it, because they have already turned their back on the truth. They've already denied the truth. I've seen this with lawyer after lawyer. My father struggled with it. He tried to become an attorney, an excellent attorney. But he ended up having to quit the law. There was such conflict. I asked him why he became a lawyer. He says, I got in the wrong line at college. He understood the corruption of it. And then when I started writing, and he read the first pamphlet I put out, I brought it to him. You know, he understood. He said, you're right, but they're not going to like you. Why did he say that? Because they didn't like him. Because he was interested in justice, righteousness. But that's not what they do there. They're interested in power. But that's how you got to where you are. You wanted power over your neighbor, and you elect men to have power over your neighbor. Now, I understand that some of you, we'll talk more about that next time. Just be there next time. But more important, join the network. Start gathering. You're running out of time. Till then, may peace be upon your house, and may God be with you.
You have been listening to The Keys of the Kingdom with Brother Gregory of His Holy Church. For more information on the educational ministry provided by His Holy Church and Brother Gregory, including services, counseling, lectures, books, and other audio materials, please write to His Church at Summer Lake, Box 10, Summer Lake, Oregon, 97640. You can also find us on the web at www.hisholychurch.net.